Good morning. I'm here today with Di Hickman, who I met roughly a year ago. And very sadly, Di lost her beautiful daughter, Ruth, to bipolar disorder in a similar way as I lost Sagar. So our very tragic losses bring us together. And our friendship is very special for that reason. Because we have lots to share and lots to contribute to each other and to the world. So Di is a very theatrical figure. She has supported the El Dorado Musical Club for a long time and in fact won the Lifetime Achievement Award lately, as I saw. So congratulations, Di.
Thank you.
Di is 76 years of age, but if you met her, you would not know that. Mm-hmm. She has the energy and the thinking ability of anybody like me or you. So thank you so much, Di, for being here and for agreeing to speak with us today. I am really honored to be here with you. And I would like you to tell me, tell us about a little bit about yourself.
Myself, I was born in Norfolk, King's Lynn. I came to London when I was 19, and my husband had come to London a year previously and joined El Dorado Musical Productions. And when I came, I became a member. And I've been a lifetime member of the society. And I have experienced, sadly, severe depression at times. It started with postnatal depression after the birth of my first daughter, Dawn, in 1966. And it was a very harrowing time because one didn't really know much about mental illness and I didn't know what was happening to me until one day I rushed round to the doctor and they realised how ill I was and I went into Bexley Psychiatric Hospital where I had ECT, which was quite miraculous for me. Because after just 7 of these treatments, I was suddenly well again and able to face the world again, look after my baby again. And it was just a harrowing time, but also an insight into mental illness, which I knew absolutely nothing about until then. And as a result, I think having experienced depression, I fully understand how it affects the person because they just feel that they will never come out of this black place. Mm. And that is why, sadly, so many people do take their own lives because they just see no hope and they just want to be out of that pain.
Mm. So what was your stay in Bexley like?
Well, in those days we had the most wonderful occupational therapists, which I wish they had now. Sadly, with all the cuts, they're very far and few between. But not only did I have the treatment and medication, but this wonderful occupational therapist, she introduced us to so many wonderful things. She took us swimming. She had hairdressing days. We did art. Went on wonderful walks, and she was just such an inspiration.
Great. Mm. So what's happened to Bexley Hospital now?
Well, it was knocked down and they're just houses there now.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, it was a wonderful hospital.
Mm.
And I was amongst people, well, obviously the ward I was on were all young women who were suffering with postnatal depression.
Mm.
But I met lots of people with all sorts of mental health problems. And it opened my eyes to something that, you know, formerly I had no experience of. But it gave me a wonderful insight of just about the suffering of people who, and others can't see that suffering.
Mm. Yes, that's part of the problem with mental illness, isn't it? That it's so invisible sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. But so whenever I read of somebody who is suffering with depression, my heart goes out to them because one cannot fully explain to people how horrendous it is. People have said to me, well, you say the pain of depression, what do you mean? Is it a physical pain? And I say, well, it's not a physical pain, but the pain of depression takes away everything. It takes away your joy of living. It takes away you being able to do even the simplest task. It just robs you of everything.
Mm. So Ruth, coming to Ruth, she was a very talented young lady, wasn't she?
Absolutely. Her talents were endless. She was artistic, but she was practical. She had the most wonderful singing voice. She was highly organized, highly conscientious at anything she did, a fantastic cook, and the list goes on.
Mm.
But, and there is a big but, sadly, bipolar came upon her.
Mm.
And again, it robbed her of everything.
Mm.
She had a very good career before that. It robbed her of her career. It robbed her of relationships. She had many relationships, but sadly, the men in her life found it too difficult to cope with the extreme mood swings.
Mm.
So it took away marriage, it took away children. She absolutely longed to have children. She was wonderful with children. And you know, over the years, I saw all this happening and my heart would go out to her because she must have felt so frustrated that she couldn't be doing the things that her friends, marrying and having children, etc. But saying this, when she was well, she accomplished lots.
Mm.
And she helped lots of people because she was just that kind of girl. But she battled and battled, and sadly, most of the drugs didn't really work for her. And she tried all sorts of courses, mindfulness, CBT, you name it. Mm. But in the end, I think she just felt she didn't want to live like this, having the hypomanic episodes when she realized when she was better. of how her behaviour had been, and she said to me herself, "Oh, Mum, I just feel like I cannot live like this."
Mm.
But I never ever dreamed that she would succeed in taking her own life, and so there again, Sangeeta, you had been a wonderful support in my life, and you have introduced me to other people who are going through the same experience, and so I feel I'm not alone, and I can feel their pain, and I know that you can feel my pain. So we are, I think, a great support to each other and to others. And I know that you have met lots and lots of people now, and who are going through the same thing, and you have been a great support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You've been a great support to me as well. I think this is such an impossible place to be in.
Yes.
That we find ourselves still alive when our children are not here.
I know.
That it's potentially completely devastating.
Absolutely.
And I think there just isn't enough support out there for people like us. And it's incumbent on us to just support each other, you know, yes, the best we can.
Yes.
And that's what I try and do a little bit every day, because actually I find that every time I reach out to somebody, it helps me as well.
Absolutely, I'm sure. And for example, when that awful bombing in Manchester happened and it claimed the lives of those lovely young people, my heart went out to those parents thinking, oh gosh, their lives are never going to be the same again.
Yeah.
And it's made me aware of what other people, when they lose their children, must be going through.
Yes.
And it will never ever be the same again.
Yeah.
And it will never ever get easier.
Mm.
Friends assume that it's nearly a year and a half since Ruth went, that life is getting easier for me.
Mm.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
One gets on with one's life. One has no choice, really. But the minute you wake up, it hits you.
Mm.
And it's there the rest of the day, every day. good things and bad things. I mean, we do have wonderful memories of our children, but the bad things that, as you say, we've lost our child, and nothing in the world can ever compensate, can ever relieve you of that terrible, terrible loss. Because it's just, as you say, utterly devastating.
Mm-hmm. Ruth was under the care of mental health services.
Yes.
How do you think she was served by them?
Well, I just feel very aggrieved that I feel they let her down, especially that last period of illness, because I informed the mental health team in September of 2015. And she had a so-called care coordinator who I felt didn't really care. She had the MAP team who also were involved in her care. She saw 4 psychiatrists during this period. Then the home treatment team were involved. But she was getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody seemed to pick up on how ill she was. And it wasn't until December when I rang them up one morning and said, "You have got to take my daughter into hospital. She is so ill." And they did. But to my disbelief, they let her out all day, every day. Now, she was in a state of hypomania. Anything could have happened to her. And I cannot believe that this happened. And after she had taken her own life, and the MAP manager, the MAP stands for Mood, Anxiety and Personality, he sat in my lounge and I said to him, "Why did you let Ruth out during the day when she was hypomanic?" And to be honest, I feel he lied to me. He just said, "Oh, it's very difficult if they come in voluntarily." Well, I know this to be untrue, because my husband, who sadly suffered with bipolar, they would coax him in and then they would section him. And as awful as sectioning is, Ruth needed to be sectioned.
Mm.
And so I feel aggrieved that they didn't act. If they had acted more promptly, I feel they could have nipped things in the bud.
Mm.
And not allowed her to spiral completely out of control to a point where, when she did get better and came out of hospital and she realised about how ill and realised how bad her behaviour had been, she felt she didn't want to live like this.
Mm.
And I just feel there should be more communication from the mental health services. I mean, Jane, her best friend, was on her care plan. I, being her next of kin, was on her care plan. And yet the lack of communication was just abysmal.
Mm.
And we were ringing up saying, you know, Ruth is so ill, what's happening? And there was no communication. And amongst themselves. I mean, you know, why weren't these different people, the care coordinator, the psychiatrist, the teams, why weren't they all communicating with each other?
Yes.
I don't understand, really.
The system is disjointed, isn't it?
Well, I feel so. And also, we've talked about the lack of resources with mental health. You know, the powers that be keep saying they're going to put more money into mental health, but they don't. There aren't enough hospital beds. People reach crisis point, but often there isn't a bed for them. Or sometimes what happens is they find a bed in a completely different place in the country,
mm.
which is awful for the families concerned.
That's right.
And, you know, it just, they need more units where when people reach crisis point, they can get the help that they need, but without, sadly, money, this can't come about.
Yes, mental health services are grossly underfunded for the demands that are on them.
Yeah.
So after Ruth passed, did you have any interaction with the services that were looking after her?
There was an independent inquiry mm-hmm. from two members of SLAM, and they talked to various people, etc., and they came up with this report. It obviously listed, you know, the problems that she had, but I don't feel it ever came to any conclusion that had she had the help when most needed, perhaps the outcome would have been different. And I felt quite aggrieved that the mental health people, I do feel they're all looking after their own back.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're not going to admit to any failings, which I feel there were failings. And I did hire the services of a solicitor and a barrister because I felt I owed it to Ruth to get to the bottom of things more. The solicitor got hold of lots of her medical reports. And unbeknown to me and to Jane, she was offered a hospital bed twice when she was hypomanic. But she obviously refused because she was so ill.
Mm-hmm.
But had we known this, if they had communicated to us that this was the case, I am sure that we and one or two other close friends would have done our utmost to cajole her to have a short stay in hospital and get the necessary help. But because nobody communicates, this didn't happen. And I feel whatever the age of a person, I think with mental health, there should be the communication. There shouldn't be this confidentiality because it's so vastly different from a physical illness.
Yes, I fully agree with you. And we have been saying that over and over again.
Mm.
And not just us, many other people have yes. also realized that this is wrong and yes. more and more is being spoken about it. So that's good.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us and your life and some of the most painful and intimate details.
I know.
And I wish you well. And I hope you take very good care of yourself.
Thank you, Sangeeta. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your support. And I will never forget that you came to see me the day after Ruth's funeral. And that was the right time to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you.